and welcome to Your New Mexico Government, a daily podcast giving you the updates on the legislative session at the Roundhouse via interviews with the journalists who are covering it. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. The environment is arguably the biggest issue for our planet, and my guest today knows much about the environmental issues we face as New Mexicans. Laura Paskus from New Mexico PBS shares her reporting on how the environment is being addressed at the Roundhouse. That's coming up, but first, Khalil's Twitter takes.
Twitter takes, 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 Twitter takes.
Yes, that's right. It's Twitter takes. We're going to break it down like this. Dan Boyd from the Albuquerque Journal posted a story about a rule change taking place at the Roundhouse. Votes to table bills in House committees would be made public under the new rules. Now, when lawmakers are in committee and they table a bill, they are in effect killing the bill. None of this was made public in the past, but it looks like that will change for next year's session. It still has to go to the House floor, but the bill passed the House Rules and Order of Business Committee by a way of a 12-1 vote, with the lone objection coming from House Democratic Floor Leader Cheryl Williams. In the article, she says, most people don't understand how the legislative process works, hence suggesting the rule change wouldn't bring more clarity. Let's stop right there. Now, isn't that the point? To inform the people? Now, I didn't grow up in New Mexico, and I went to school a long time ago. But there was a thing that I learned every year from the third grade until they placed a high school diploma in my hands. It's called civics.
Civics?
Yeah, you know, civics, like how the government works. It seems to me that it would be helpful for the people who vote for the people who make the laws to know how those people do their job. I mean, we're not voting for the homecoming or prom royal court. These are representatives who are making laws and setting budget measures with taxpayer money that will affect us all. It would be nice if not only we knew what was going on, but understood how things go down. Now, while I applaud the House in taking this step towards transparency, I implore the Education Department to take a giant step in creating a population of the most well-informed voters in the country. It's the only way to make sure our democracy works as it should. And that is Khalil's Twitter take.
Twitter takes, 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 Twitter takes.
And welcome back to Your New Mexico Government. My guest today is Laura Paskus. She's a producer and host of Our Land, New Mexico's environmental past, present, and future on New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS KNME. She's also a regular environmental reporter for New Mexico PBS. Laura, how is it going? Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me. This has been a great podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's very exciting. I get to learn a lot about the legislative efforts and the issues that are happening deep in the state outside of Albuquerque. And it's been very enlightening for me. So let me ask you this. First question. From what you've discovered in your reporting, what are the biggest and most important environmental issues that we face as New Mexicans?
Wow, that's a great question. So I think for me, the overarching issue is always going to be climate change and protecting New Mexico's communities and landscapes and water resources. And so New Mexico is one of the states in the United States that's seeing warming happening more rapidly than many other places. And we're already experiencing the impacts of climate change, whether that's the big wildfires we can have, water challenges, and all of these things impact our communities here in the state and some communities more than others. And so climate change is kind of the overarching issue that I think about a lot, but it touches everything else from, you know, our ag and ranching communities to our native communities to our water resources and our forests. It touches everything, including energy issues.
Yes.
So that's a big one.
That is a huge one. Now, what are state lawmakers doing to kind of ameliorate some of the issues that we're experiencing through climate change?
So as I'm guessing some of your other guests have said about various issues, this is a 30-day session, and the legislature really has to focus on the budget and taxes and sort of those fiscal issues. There's not a lot of energy this year around environment and energy and water. There are some bills that we can talk about, but it's definitely not a year where we're seeing a lot of movement on a broad array of environment issues.
Hopefully next year. Now, I know one of the big issues that they were talking about is the solar tax credit, or otherwise known as SB 29, where if a person, you know, they're, you get a tax credit for installation of solar panels on private homes and also businesses. What are the chances of that passing?
You know, the solar tax credit isn't even a new issue. You know, it's something that the state has had in the past. And so I would hope that it will pass. Of course, there's always, you know, different priorities or crazy things happen at the last minute. But I would imagine that the solar tax credit has a good chance of passing. In the past, that program has been so popular that the amount of money that has been kind of in the fund for that has been tapped out. It's a really popular program.
Mm-hmm. It should be. I mean, we're not the sunshine state, but we get a lot of sun over here.
Exactly.
That would help out. That would help out a lot. Expanding on that a little bit now, and I know they have the solar tax credit for businesses and private residents, but what are the odds of the state making it mandatory that all state-run buildings and facilities switch over or at least add solar panels? Is anything like that happening?
So I think last year's Energy Transition Act that the legislature passed in 2019, you know, makes a really strong push for renewable energy in the state. And there have, you know, there are lots of local governments that have set ambitious goals for installing renewable energy resources on public buildings. Albuquerque has a plan for that. I'm sure other counties and cities do. Las Cruces does, I believe. And so those kinds of efforts really can push the industry in a positive direction. And so I think that between the Energy Transition Act, which is focused on utilities largely, but I think that that movement toward getting state buildings and schools, that's all something that I think is happening on a local level.
Okay. It's working on a local level. Hopefully we can get the state involved in mass. Now, the governor has recently requested more money for help with a sustainable water plan. What have you heard about that?
Yeah, so there was a story in the Santa Fe, New Mexican recently by Danny Prokop, I'm looking at the wrong one. Anyway, there is this movement toward trying to address this really big problem that we have in the state, which is, and I'll try to keep it brief, but basically Texas has sued New Mexico over the waters of the Rio Grande, saying that we're not passing along enough of the Rio's water into Texas under this interstate compact. And one of the problems that Texas has pointed out is that by pumping groundwater in southern New Mexico, that's drawing water out of the Rio Grande. And so that's water that New Mexico isn't delivering. So there's kind of this overarching problem of this big lawsuit between Texas, New Mexico, and Colorado. And so one of the things that the governor has been talking about is funding this pilot program down south of Elephant Butte Reservoir for farmers down there to be fallowing some of their lands so that we can see if by fallowing those lands and not growing crops on them, if that helps the groundwater levels in that area. And it's a pilot project, totally voluntary. Nobody's forced to fallow their lands if they don't want to and they have the water rights. And so that's one thing that's being discussed is money that would go toward that pilot program.
Okay. Now, is there support for that at the Roundhouse?
So it sounds like there were a lot of questions about this and how it would be implemented, and some of the legislators tours in the article seemed surprised by the funding for it. But I mean, I think it's something that both Democrats and Republicans can agree on, is that we need to have a strong farming community, and we need to conserve water, and we need to not be in this really complicated and potentially very bad situation of this lawsuit with Texas.
Yes, I see that. Hopefully we can, hopefully that lawsuit gets settled very soon and everybody can move on happily. Happily. I know that doesn't happen at the end of a lot of lawsuits, but let's hope both New Mexico, Texas, and Colorado can be pleased with the results. Now, I've been reading up a little bit about the electric vehicle tax credit that they're offering, a $2,500 credit for the purchase of an electric vehicle, $300 credit for the installation of an at-home charging station, and for low-income people, they're doubling down and making it a $5,000 credit. Is there a big push for that?
So I think this is one that I am not super familiar with and was just kind of looking at today, and it looks like there is support from both Democrats and Republicans for this bill. And so if there's enough time in the session, it seems like this is the kind of bill that could pass.
Okay. It seems like a sensible bill as well. Something that will, you know, help everybody out. It lowers footprints. There's a major advances in electronic and alternative vehicles. So let's hope that that works.
Right. And I just wanted to mention, because I said the wrong person, that was Robert Knott's story in the Santa Fe New Mexican about that pilot project down in Elephant Butte. So shout out to Robert Knott there.
Big shout out. Hopefully all the listeners can go and look up that piece at the Santa Fe New Mexican of what he's writing about, what's going down at Elephant Butte. Okay, quickly before I let you go, you mentioned climate change was one of the issues that you feel is the big issue that you feel is affecting the entire state and all of the communities within the state. And we have a short session here, 30 days. Next year, it's a little bit of a longer session. Do you feel that the legislature will really look hard at some of these issues in next year's session?
I would like to think so. So looking back, like, I've been covering these issues in the state for like 15 or more years. And so during the Richardson administration, we saw a lot of bills related to climate change and water being introduced. And, you know, certainly not all of them passed. But there was a lot of momentum around climate change and looking at studying water issues and renewable energy and kind of regulations on particular industries. And we saw in the Martinez administration that that just dropped off completely. We'd go from having, you know, 20 or 30 climate-related bills in the legislature to zero during the Martinez administration, because legislators knew that she was not going to sign any of those bills, even if they passed. And so I think last year there was a lot of movement, especially on energy in the legislature. I'd like to imagine that next year legislators will come back with a great deal of enthusiasm, especially, you know, there are a few legislators in New Mexico who have consistently paid attention to environment issues and water issues in particular, Senator Peter Wirth in Santa Fe and Senator Joseph Cervantes down in Donia Ana County, you know, have really paid attention to water issues. And we kind of have this new generation of legislators who came in within the past couple of years, like Albuquerque's Representative Melanie Stansberry, who really pushed the Water Data Act last year, who I think will come back very strong next year. And making sure that while we have some time to address some of these issues, in particular water challenges, that we take advantage of that.
I really hope that we do take advantage of that. I want to thank you for joining me and thank you for your insight and reporting. She's Laura Paskus, producer, host of Our Land, New Mexico's Environmental Past, Present, and Future. That's on New Mexico Focus, New Mexico PBS, and KNME. Laura, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Khalil.
And that's a wrap for this edition of Your New Mexico Government. Many thanks to Laura Paskus for joining me. Be sure to check out Laura on Our Land, New Mexico's environmental past, present, and future, by way of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when my guest is Jeff Proctor from the Santa Fe Reporter. He joins me in studio where we talk about probation and parole reform. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNN, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our legislative coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund. For everyone here at KUNM Studios, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening. The music for Khalil's Twitter Takes was provided by DJ Flo Fader. For the intro and outro, music by Pope Yes Yes Y'all.